Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Turn to the book of James, if you will, this morning. The book of James. I have something for you this morning. And as I was studying, actually, this is like 2 weeks of sermon all packed into one here. And I'm going to try to make it as concise as I can and not beat around the bush. I got something I know that you need. I got something that is very appropriate for the first message of the brand new year. It's about taking the defeats of 2024 and turning them into the victories of 2025. And we all fail and we all falter and we've all disappointed God at one time or another. And we all know what trouble is. And the book of James, he covers it in quite some detail here this morning. We're only going to cover a few verses as the Lord leads. I'd like to preach the whole chapter of James in chapter 1, and I may be able to skip around and I might be able to do that here this morning. I wasn't able to thank everybody. My wife wanted me to do this morning. Thank you for all the gifts. Thank you for all of the well wishes. Thank you for all your prayers for the Christmas season. It did not go unnoticed in the pastor and his wife's home and all the baked goods, and I put on weight, and thank you for that. Lots of luck. Now I got to lose that weight, but no, I thank you, thank you, thank you. And I got, I'm not kidding, 7 pair of pajama pants from my family. Somebody must have said, what does dad need? And somebody said, and my wife said pajama pants, and they all got me pajama pants. So if you get a gift from me next year, I'll tell you right what it is going to be right now. It's going to be a pair of pajama pants. And I do thank you. And thank you again for those of you that contributed to the world-class museum of the knickknacks that are all over my house. Debbie started putting them away yesterday, thank the Lord. We've got knickknacks from 2 foot high to, I'm not kidding, 1/2 inch high. And that 1/2 inch, how many of those knickknacks exist there, Debbie? I saw them everywhere in the house. No. If there's one, there's 100. They're little birds about this high. And they're everywhere. I'm seeing, they're in my socks. They're everywhere I look. There they are. But again, thank you. And there's one gift I want to share with you before I start preaching. This is very novel. How many have like white elephant gifts among your family? Where you kind of get, anybody else do that, or is it just my family? Okay, some of you do. All right. I won't tell you what I got for mine this year. But last year, what happened is somebody gave a coupon out, and it was one. And on that coupon, handwritten, of course, and you can imagine who this came from, one free slap at Rachel. And this is among the family now. It's among the family. And Michelle looked over at Art and said, why don't you ever give me a gift like that? And he slapped her. And it was the slap heard round the world. And it made everything really tense for just a little while. That's how troubled my family is. So this year, a whole booklet of coupons was given. And let me just read to them. There's 5 of them. One free slap on Michelle. Okay. One free slap on Bo. All right. One free slap on Michelle. 1 month of no tithing. That doesn't apply. That's not going anywhere. One free slap on Michelle. 1 month of borrowing Josh's four-wheeler. And then one free slap on Michelle and one free lesson of Debonese. That's the kind of family. You think you have trouble in your home? I live in a troubled family. And the book of James is about trouble. And I love the book of James. If I've got a favorite book in all of the Word of God, it's the first letter that was written in the New Testament. It is the book of James. James, the half-brother of Jesus. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Says so right in the very first verse. The deity of Christ. James, the pastor of the church of Jerusalem. And this very first book, he doesn't mix it. He doesn't spend any time beating around the bush. He gets right to it. Let's stand together. James chapter 1 and verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered, which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning as a church family. We come to you this morning as individual families and individuals within the church family. And God, we know that we live in a day of trouble and a day of testing and a day of tribulation. And dear God, we pray this morning that you would feed us, that you would help us to grow in grace, that you would help us as children of God to understand that every test is an opportunity, that every trouble that comes our way, even though it is never enjoyed, we ought to look to God with the right perspective and understand there is a purpose. There is a platform that is being developed. And God, would you grow us into the church you want us to be? Grow us into the family you would have us to be. Grow us and mature us into the child of God that you would have us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And oh God, we pray for those this morning that are struggling. Right now, they are deep in trouble and they see no way out. Some have perhaps emotionally and spiritually been trod underfoot. God, we ask that you would lift them this morning and Lord, make alive their spirits by way of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray for the families that have lost loved ones and some very recent. And Lord, everything seems to be going wrong. And we all feel that way at one time or another. Lift us up this morning. Help us to understand we are seated in the heavenlies. And God, may none of us get full of ourselves and think we don't have trouble. But God instead, help us to look to you, look to heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. God has big plans for the Church of Jesus Christ. God has big plans for you and your family. And I read that in the book of James. And it tells us here in James in verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, Pastor James is the half-brother of Jesus. God isn't his spiritual, God isn't his father, but Joseph is his father. James is, and his mother is Mary, just like Jesus' mother was Mary. Different though, James is not deity. James is a brother, a half-brother of Jesus. They have a same mother in common. James is Jesus' little brother, and now he's the pastor at the church of Jerusalem. And God uses him to write this first letter, this first epistle. It says here that James is a servant of God. No greater title than servant of God. Nothing. You can get a doctor's degree, it don't matter. You can call yourself a reverend, that doesn't matter. No greater title than to be a servant of God. Can I go a step further and say he was a pioneer? James is a pathfinder. He is one that is going before us. And it says he is a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and written to the 12 tribes, born-again Jews, that which are scattered abroad, greeting. And then he says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Perhaps along the way, and we've all failed God. I disappointed God in the year 2024. Man, I had failures in the year 2024. But the Bible says, the just man falleth 7 times and yet riseth again. The Bible says, you fall 7 times, you get up 8. The Bible says if you're following God, you cannot lose as long as you continue to follow God. Failures, some defeats, but we haven't lost the war. And it might be that you're someone that you have found yourself, you have heard yourself think this. Maybe you've even heard yourself say this at one time or another when trouble comes your way. Why me? Why does this only happen to me? Can I encourage your heart? It happens to everybody. It doesn't only happen to you. That is your weak, selfish flesh thinking that you don't deserve any trouble. And the truth is, there is a purpose for trouble in our lives. There is a purpose for tests. There is a purpose for tribulation. I wrote 3 things down here this morning. It's not my sermon. It'll just get me going in the sermon this morning, but I'll maybe end with this morning. Number one reason for trouble is chastisement. Hebrews and chapter 12 and verse 6 says every child of God goes through chastisement. If you've got some trouble in your life right now, it might be that God is spanking you because he loves you. It might be that God is correcting you because he loves you. He's not going to let you get far away. Number one reason for trouble would be chastisement. Another would be, and we find it here in James and chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, growth and strengthening. Everything that happens in your life and my life, it goes through the hands of God. Man, he allows it. So it's either chastisement or it's an opportunity to be perfected, growth, matured, if you will. Another reason would be ministry. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. Actually, it's 2 Corinthians, I believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He's the source of mercy. He's the source of comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. If it were not for trouble, I would not know how good God is. If it were not for the tests, I would never have a testimony. One of the reasons trouble and tests come into the life of Tim Rader is so that I can be strengthened and I can minister to other people. And I can say to my brother or my sister, you know what? I know it's tough and I know you're at the bottom looking up, but I've been there. And I want you to know that God is enough and God will help and let me help you. But God is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. He is going to get you through that. And then the final thing about receiving tests is all for the glory of God. It is all for the glory of God. So the writer of the book of James, Pastor James, says to these first century Christians who are being persecuted, some of them are being martyred. Their lives are being taken from them. Families are being destroyed. They're scattered abroad already because of the persecution. He's written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, these Jewish born-again Christians that are scattered all over the earth because of the great persecution that's come upon them. And he says, listen, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I would say this, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Determine to enjoy the trip. Remember that Jesus himself was persecuted by this world. And Jesus said, man, don't no marvel that you're going to be persecuted, for they persecuted me. So have the right mindset. I would say, count your blessings. Remember what it was like when you first got saved? Remember when your heart was full of Jesus and you loved Jesus? Remember, didn't matter what hit you, no matter what the devil hit you with, it just kind of flow off your back like water off a duck's back. It didn't matter because you were so in love with God. Yeah, that's what we got to get again. That's how in love you've got to be with God again. So you'll be able to count it all joy instead of feeling sorry for, I don't deserve this trouble. Are you kidding me? I deserve worse than any trouble I ever get by this world. Man, and God is doing a work in me. He's perfecting us, determined to have the right attitude. Enjoy the trip. I wrote this down, and it's from a study long ago, a mature saint. Every preacher needs to have this. The mind of a scholar, the heart of a child, and the hide of a rhinoceros. And do not allow trouble to embitter you. Things are going wrong in your life, and if you're small enough to think it's only happening to you, you've got blinders on. Can I encourage you this morning? You can pick the biggest, most expensive home in California, in Florida, in Tennessee, wherever else people want to go, in Texas. You can pick the biggest, most expensive home and the biggest, fanciest doors, and behind those doors is trouble. Yes. It's heartache. That's right. Behind those doors, financial trouble. Death. We all go through the same things. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Understand right now, determine to enjoy the trip. Look at verses 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. I like that word perfect. And it means maturing. It means completing. You see, without trouble in my life, I'm not mature. Without trouble in my life, I'm not complete. Some of us, we started out life and we kind of had that spiritual silver spoon in our house and in our mouth and everything was going right and you didn't understand why that was happening to that person. But you live long enough in this world and things start going wrong. You live long enough in this world and a loved one walks away from God. You live long enough in this world and you have to go to the funeral home. You live long enough in this world to get a phone call. There's been an emergency. There's been a house. There's been an accident. You live long enough in this world and people disappoint you. And then you understand, man, life is rough. And the writer of James, the pastor of Jerusalem, said, count it all joy when you fall into divers, because God's at work, because he's perfecting you. He's maturing you. He's making you, he's strengthening you. You're going to be able to minister to other people because you're not here for yourself. If you ever get to that place where you can get beyond where I'm here for myself and doing the best I can do for myself, and you start reaching out and you start understanding it's a pretty empty life all by myself, now God's going to start using you. And every trouble that I've experienced in my life, I've been able to minister to other people. And never forget where God has brought you from. There's no reason to learn the same lesson over and over again, except that we're pretty dull people spiritually. Right here, all right? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. Man, accept the struggle, that you may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. Accept it, understand. God gives us exactly what we need. Sometimes we just gotta put on our big boy pants and understand life is sometimes tough. And then sometimes life is easy. It isn't like it's tough all of the time. But understand everything. Here's the way you and I got to look at this. Here's the way we got to look at it as Fundamental Baptist Church. Everything that we experience, it's for the glory of God. Everything that we experience, it's to strengthen us. It's to give us a bigger platform. It's to give us a bigger voice. And so others will see how I struggle and how I respond and how I've gotten closer to God. And it does get sweeter all of the time. God give us determined, battle-hardened, grizzled veterans, soldiers of the cross that will always be faithful. Oh man, that's what we need. But I say that knowing we all struggle. Can I say this? Remember that little kid song? God, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took 6 days to make the moon and stars, sun and earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. We haven't arrived. So count it all joy. Something's going to go wrong this week. You're going to say, preacher, I wish you wouldn't have preached that message. car's going to break down alongside the road. Something's going to happen. Or maybe it's something terrible. And just count it all joy. God's at work. God is at work. He's maturing us. He's strengthening us. He's preparing us for ministry. Just make sure he's not chastising us. You don't want that. Don't run from defeat. Embrace it. Don't run from the struggle. Embrace it. Understand this must be the will of God. This must be what God has for me today. Recognize you're not alone. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. I love that. I love it. Think about it. He giveth to all men liberally. If I'm in trouble, I can go to my great high priest and I can ask of God. And he is not stingy. He giveth to all. He'll hear that prayer. God, help me. I don't know what to do. God, help me. I need strength today. I'm out of strength. God, help me. I don't know where to turn. He says, you call out to him and he giveth to all men liberally. I love it. That's what our Father does. And upbraideth not. He's not going to chide you. He's not going to chastise you for asking. And it shall be given him. He will help you when you are in trouble. He knows you failed. We have all failed. I said this morning in Sunday school, God doesn't love you because of who you are. God loves you because of who he is. Amen. You don't have to do something to gain God's favor. Man, he's done all the work at the cross. And all we got to do is come to him. He loves you because of who he is. So you failed God. So you've stumbled. So you've struggled along the way. Everybody has. The just man falleth 7 times and yet riseth again. You don't know how far I've fallen, preacher. It don't matter. You cry out to God. He'll help you in that time of trouble. And he'll give to you liberally. And he will not upbraid you. And then it says in verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable, unsettled in all of his ways. And then he says in verses 9 and 10 and 11, he says, no matter what your standing is, rich or poor, smart or dumb, it does not matter. If you're a child of God, you know, God is going to hear that prayer of help, and he'll help you in your time of trouble. He will be there, and you will find out that he is more than enough. There's a lot of preaching here. Let me skip a few verses. Faith is the key. That's very obvious. Verses 9 through 11, trust God in the dark. Verse 13, you can count on God. But look what it says in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The best is yet to come. Remember this, it will be worth it all. I fail God. I stumble from time to time, but God still loves us. And God is still there for us. This is not a milquetoast, syrupy kind of Pollyanna kind of message. Life is tough and it is a struggle and there are difficulties. And God, my good shepherd, my heavenly Father, who's far above me, he knows what Tim Rader needs today. And he knows what Tim Rader needs tomorrow. And because he loves Tim Rader, he's not going to let Tim Rader stray too far away before he gets chastised. And it's all for the glory of God. And if I'll keep the right mindset about it, and Paul and James was telling persecuted Christians this, some of them had lost their loved ones, some in the Colosseum, some in great martyrdom, some were burnt at the stake. He said, listen, count it all joy because God's at work. Those weren't empty words. God's at work. He's completing you. He's maturing you. He's making you stronger. You're entering into the sufferings of Christ so that you can strengthen others, so that you can minister. God deliver us from the perfect life. That's not the best way to say that. God knows that Tim Rader could not live a perfect life. I just get farther and farther away from God. I need trouble in my life. So count it all joy and know this, because God is a good God, he's gonna reward those that endure those tests. And that trouble, a forever reward. Count it all joy. Romans chapter 8, I think it's verse 17. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed hereafter. There's an end to this, and the end is it will be worth it all. One more verse, verse 21. I got maybe time for more than one verse. Verse 21 says, wherefore, it says in verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Prior to that verse, James says to these early Christians, he says, God will never tempt you to do wrong. God will never tempt you to do evil. God will never entrap you. That's not God. That is the flesh. That is the world. And that is the devil. Make no mistake, no error, don't err in this, don't make a mistake. Every good gift cometh from above. There's no variableness with God. He's always there for us. So in every test and every trial and every tribulation, make sure you look to God. And it tells us here in verse 21, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Our flesh knows what that's all about. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness, no pride. With meekness, that's humility. That's understanding who we are in the presence of God. With meekness, even though God has given us victories in the past, with meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. You know, that word engrafted is a wonderful word. We're that wild branch. Taking Old Testament terminology and New Testament that is engrafted into the vine. And Jesus Christ is the vine. We're the branches. And we who are Gentile people have become part of the household of God. And what a privilege that is. And it actually becomes part of that living being, that church of Jesus Christ. And it says we are to receive with meekness, same picture, same word, the engrafted word of God. Faith is the key. The word of God, that's the trigger. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm to be a Bible student. I'm to be a Bible theologian. I'm to be a man that studies the word of God, and you are too. A woman, a man, a young person that studies the word of God. And the reason we have so much trouble in our world today and so much trouble in our personal lives is we're not students of the word of God. We do everything else. We listen to music, maybe good music, maybe not so good music. We're involved in all kinds of other activities, but where's the engrafted? James said, you got to get the word of God inside of you. And that was part of Sunday school this morning. That's part of the new and living way that the writer of Hebrews tells us about. We've got the Word of God and written in our hearts. What a wonderful truth that is. So I want to challenge you here this morning as we start to draw this to a close. You had some defeats? Let's not give up. Let's not be laissez-faire. Let's not be apathetic. Let's not take God for granted. Let's not be that 18-year-old, I got all the answers. I don't need anything more. I can make it on my own. Let's not be that person. Let's not be that sophomore in Bible college. I got it. Let me tell you seniors what it's all about. Pastor, let me tell you what I learned in my sophomore year in Bible college. I got a handle on this. I can help you. Yeah. Let's forget that. And let's receive the engrafted Word of God. There's three things I want to challenge you with. I'm not re-preaching in the message. This is just before the altar call. This is something that we need, and I say it every year. And I just got through saying we need to read and study the Word of God. We need to pray, have a prayer closet, and connect with God. Be in touch with heaven. And let me just say this. If you are not part of the prayer alert, and maybe you were years ago and it was the old prayer alert and you don't even know what we're doing right now, being part of that prayer alert connects us as a church family. I get this from so many people. We're connected by way of whatever scripture is shared that day, that Bible verse, that little quick thought. We're connected in prayer. And it kind of holds, even though we're scattered over an hour and a half in every direction, it kind of holds the whole church together. And let me tell you this, if you haven't signed up for the prayer alert, give your phone number to the office and get on those of us that are on the prayer alert, and it always will come to your house between 9 and 9:30 in the morning. That's what's happening now, unless there's a dire emergency. And if one thing that I used to hate about that prayer alert, I'd listen to it even though I gave it out. I wanted to make sure it was clear. And I'd get almost at the end and it would start over. You hear that little chime, and start over. Now it used to drive me nuts. I used to get mad at myself. And finally it was explained to me. When you get the prayer alert, put your phone on mute. It is a computer. And if it hears any background noise, like the TV or whatever, or Aunt Susie yelling at the kids, if it hears it, that computer thinks somebody just picked the phone up and it starts all over again. So just put your phone on mute. You only have to listen to my voice one time. It works, all right? Study the Word of God. Make sure you're in your prayer closet. And then make sure also, like we studied this morning in Sunday school, you're not skipping church. Make church a priority. That assembly. I won't re-preach what I taught this morning, but that's what's going to strengthen us. We're all going to have trouble in the year 2025. Are you braced for this? Fasten your seatbelt. Some of you are going to die. Some of you are going to lose loved ones. That's the way it is. Some are going to have financial trouble, relationship trouble. It's going to happen. It's part of life. Pastor James said, by way of inspiration, count it all joy. God's at work. God has big things planned for you. Remember the reasons for the tests. Number one, chastisement. Get right with God. You don't want to experience that. Number two is personal growth and strengthening. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Number three is that you might minister to other people. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. And it's all for the glory of God. Aren't you glad you get a shot at life? Man, aren't you glad you get to live for the glory of God? Man, God has given you breath. He has saved you. He's given you breath. Here you are, part of the New Testament local church that is Bible-centric, and you get the opportunity at life, raising kids and grandkids and making impacts and striking a blow for God and growing and become spiritually strong yourself. Now, what an opportunity. Put on your big boy pants. Get your nose in the Bible. Kneel down at the throne, at the foot of the throne of our God in heaven, and get in church. Get in church. So you can grow in grace.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.